well. Amen. Praise the Lord for that special this morning as well. What a blessing it already has been just being in the house of the Lord today. If you have your Bibles with you now at this time, if you'd look with me, if you're able to, at 2 Corinthians chapter 7, and we're going to be reading verse 6 down to verse 10. And so if you're able to, if you would, when you find that, stand with me. We'll read the Word of God together. As I read, you can follow right along with me. 2 Corinthians chapter 7, and beginning of verse 6. Nevertheless, God, that comforteth those that are cast down, comforted us by the coming of Titus, and not by his coming only, but by the consolation wherewith he was comforted in you, when he told us your earnest desire, your mourning, your fervent mind toward me, so that I rejoice the more. For though I made you sorry with a letter, I do not repent, though I did repent, for I perceive that the same epistle hath made you sorry, though it were but for a season. Now I rejoice, not that ye were made sorry, but that ye sorrowed to repentance. For ye were made sorry after a godly manner, that ye might receive damage by us in nothing. For godly sorrow worketh repentance to salvation, not to be repented of. But the sorrow of the world worketh death. And let's pray. Father, we bow before you once again today. And what a blessing it has already been to sensing your presence in this place, being ministered to through music. But now we've opened up your holy word and we've looked at this passage of scripture, and no doubt, God, you want to speak to us through this. I ask, God, that you would use me once again as an instrument in your hand to bring forth your message from your word to your people. For this we ask in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. You may be seated. Once again, over in the book of John in chapter 10 and verse 10, and this is a series we've been in on Sunday mornings, and based on this right here, the Bible says, John 10:10, Jesus said, "The thief cometh not but for to steal and to kill and to destroy." That's the thief is the devil. He made that very clear. But then he says here, "I am come," Jesus Christ, the only begotten Son of God, "I am come that they might have life, and that they might have it more abundantly." The life that Jesus Christ brings to humanity is a life that anyone can have. It's a spiritual life. It's a life being in fellowship with a Creator God. It's a life like no other life that brings a joy, that brings a peace that passeth all understanding, that gives purpose to living. This life is what we've been focused on because there is a devil. And Satan has a stronghold on physical life. He has a stronghold on physical life because of man's sin nature. Every one of us we're born with a sin nature passed down from Adam. The sin nature that we have taints everything about our being. The sin nature taints your thinking. That's why you can't rely on your thoughts. You have to focus on God's thoughts. It taints our feelings. It taints our purpose in life. Everything about the life, the physical life, is tainted by a sin nature that the devil wants to work through to do what he wants have done, that Jesus revealed to us, to steal and kill and destroy. But Jesus came to set us free from the bondage of sin, to set us free from this sin nature. And he brings to us a new nature. And this new nature is this abundant life. This new nature is key to a spiritual life that God blesses. And he says, I come to give you this. What a blessing to know that we can have it. Yeah. And yet, many are not experiencing it. If you're one of those who are not experiencing this abundant life, this spiritual life, there's a reason that you're not. We're living in the age of deception. I believe we're living in the very last days. And Satan has blinded the minds of so many. And we're not ignorant of his devices. And so we've been preaching and teaching on the hindrances to this abundant life. And the main hindrance is sin. The sin nature leads us to sin. But because of the new nature, we can choose not to. And we can overpower that desire of the flesh to yield to and to commit sins against an almighty God. So unconfessed sin is the main hindrance to this spiritual life, this abundant life. Holding on to your past. We preached a message on we have to get past our past, because holding on to the past, Satan will many times use that to destroy your future. Being deceived by ungodly love and ungodly hate. We are not to love and we're not to hate according to the flesh. Although all of us have a tendency to do that, because love and hate is a part of our lives. But Christ has given us an example that we are to follow on love as he loved and hate as he hates. He hates iniquity. Last week we preached on the ungodly treatment of others. The ungodly treatment of others. Because if you're not looking and viewing others as God would have you to, then that's going to hinder your spiritual life. These are just some of the things that can hinder your spiritual life. Now, if you are not experiencing the spiritual life as God wants you to experience it, then it is because of one of these things or multiple of these things. This morning, we look here in the book of 2 Corinthians, and we find another that Satan uses to hinder us from this spiritual life. Paul writes about the conviction of the Word of God that brings godly sorrow. Godly sorrow is something that we need to have if we are going to experience the joys of the spiritual life, the abundant life that's available to us. Godly sorrow. Now we're looking here at 2 Corinthians in chapter 7, and Paul, this is the second letter that Paul would write to them. The first letter, Paul outlined their sin, and this was a church that had all kinds of sins in the church that went unchecked. And Paul writes to them concerning these things, and through this letter, under the conviction of the Holy Spirit of God, the church had a sorrow. And then it turned into a godly sorrow, which led to repentance. That's what we find here. Verse 8, he says this, "As though I made you sorry with a letter." This idea of 1 Corinthians, it was inspired by the Spirit of God, and it was God's word. And so he wrote this, and they read this, and come under the conviction of the Holy Spirit. "I do not repent, though I did repent." My desire here was not to make you sorry, but that sorrow led to, a godly sorrow led to repentance, and I'm not repenting of that, because that's why I wrote the letter. That's what the Word of God ought to do. The Word of God ought to bring conviction into our lives if we have something in our lives that should not be there. If you have something in your life that should not be there, that is what's hindering you from that abundant life that Jesus wants to give us. If you understand the blessings of abundant life, you would want to know why you're not experiencing it. And when the Word of God and when God reveals to you some of the reasons why you're not experiencing this abundant life, then I need to be aware of it so that I can repent of that, get it out of my life, so I can enjoy the abundant life that God has for me to enjoy. This letter made you sorrow. In verse 9, he says, "Now rejoice in that you were made sorry. Rejoice not, but that ye sorrowed to repentance." And that's what it was he wanted. That's what God wants, to sorrow to repentance. "For you were made sorry after a godly manner, that ye might receive damage." So a godly manner of sorrow. And he explains that in verse 10. "For godly sorrow worketh repentance." First of all, to salvation, not to be repented of, but the sorrow of the world. So we have godly sorrow, but then there's the sorrow of the world, and the sorrow of the world worketh death. Godly sorrow is something that is brought on by the Holy Spirit of God that leads to repentance toward God. Now, in the book of Psalms, and let me just read to you here. We're laying the foundation. I trust you can know where we're going here and you're open to this. I believe it'd be a help to you. But over in the book of Psalms in chapter 34, in verse 18, the Bible says this: "The Lord is nigh unto them that are of a broken heart, and saveth such as be of a contrite spirit." That word contrite means sorrow. A mourning, sorrow over sin, and a mourning for that sin. The Bible says, and this is a Psalm of David in Psalm chapter 51, after David's great sin, he realized that God did not want sacrifice, but what God was looking for is this idea of a broken heart and a sorrow for his sin that led to repentance. Chapter 51 in verse 17, "The sacrifices of God are a broken spirit." A broken and contrite. There's that word contrite again. Sorrow heart, O God, thou will not despise. That's what God wants us to experience so that we can get out of our lives those things that would be hindering us from the abundant life. Now, sorrow of the world, worldly sorrow, is void of the conviction of the Holy Spirit. Worldly sorrow is something that I am troubled over failures. Sorry that I failed in life. I'm sorry that I didn't get all that I wanted out of life. I'm sorry. Sorry over failures or having to deal with the consequences of our sins. This is possibly brought on by conviction of self, not the Holy Spirit of God. But this sorrow of the world leads to a guilt, depression, and death. That's what the Bible says. That's how Satan wants to work through this sorrow of the world, because you've not repented unto God. You're just sorry that you got caught. You're sorry because you're dealing with the consequences of your sins, and is bringing the guilt into your life. A prime example of this would have been Judas Iscariot, who had the greatest opportunities of one of 12 who had the greatest opportunity, who actually walked with the Lord Jesus Christ and was called of the Lord Jesus Christ, but Judas never did put his faith and trust in Jesus. And when it come down to it, he sold Christ out, betrayed him for 30 pieces of silver, only to have to deal with the consequences of his actions. He was so ridden with guilt that he went out and hung himself, which is worldly sorrow. Sorrow has no healing power by itself. But godly sorrow can lead to repentance and cleansing, which allows a person to then, after the repentance, and as you've repented toward God, then you have been cleansed by the blood of Jesus Christ. And after you've been cleansed by the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ, a person then can enjoy the abundant life, because there's no need, you have nothing in your life at that point that you need to confess, because you've already confessed to God. And because you have confessed to God, He is faithful and just to forgive you of your sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. And once you feel that cleansing, can I tell you, there is spiritual joy. So the hindrances to abundant life is a lack of godly sorrow. So this possibly the best illustration that we have in the Bible comes from a parable that Jesus gave over in the book of Luke in chapter 15. And this idea of a godly sorrow is what we're preaching on, but looking at the life that Christ revealed to us that experienced this, and I think it will help us to have this illustration over in the book of Luke in chapter 15. And it's an illustration that I'm sure everyone in here has heard and read and maybe had heard several messages preached on. The life of the parable of the prodigal son. This biblical example of godly sorrow leading to abundant life. First of all, in Jesus presenting this parable, he says, and he said, a certain man had two sons. Now he's got a lesson for us on both of these two sons, but this was a man that had two children, two boys, that no doubt had experienced blessings. Both of these boys were raised by a father who loved them. Both had experienced abundant life or fellowship with their father. Now we know that because at the end of this, in verse 24, it says this, the father says, "For this my son was dead and is alive again." That means that at one point he was alive and had fellowship with his father. Having fellowship with God is part of the abundant life, spiritual life. To know that you have faith in God being who he is, and that you believe that Jesus Christ was the God's only begotten son, who was God manifested in the flesh, who went to Calvary's cross some 2,000 years ago, and there on the cross of Calvary paid a sin debt that you owed and could not pay. And yet, because he died in your stead, you believe that he paid your sin debt, and because he paid it, he has a gift to offer you, and you believed in Jesus Christ, and you called upon the name of the Lord, and he gave you everlasting life. He forgave you of your sins. He washed you, made you reconciled to God, and has given to you the spiritual life that is based upon God living inside of you and sealing you to the day of redemption. Praise God for that, because that is salvation. That is what believing in Jesus Christ and looking to him, understanding what he did, and then receiving that gift. That's what it brings. When you first get saved, can I tell you, You've been washed and cleansed. And when you understand that, what a rejoice, what a time of joy. So they had it. Had two sons. Fellowshiped with these two sons. And then verse 12. And the younger of them said to his father, "Father, give me the portion of goods that falleth to me." And he divided unto them his living. So we know because of what happens next, what was going on inside the heart and mind of this young man, this prodigal son. He didn't have this abundant life, the fellowship with his father now, because of his own choice. He didn't have it, nor did he desire it, because he was focused on something else. He knew that he was going to take everything that he could from the father so that he would be able to take it and go out and use it as he wanted to live his life. He needed godly sorrow at this stage of his life, and he didn't have it. I don't know what influenced this young man. I don't know what it was. Maybe somebody else. Maybe, who knows? Could have been a girl. Could have been he had been focused on the lifestyle of somebody else. And because of the lifestyle of this other person coming into his life, he thought, I'm missing out. Just being here and having the fellowship with my father and having the blessings of this home and having the blessings of this family, and something got into his heart, something got into his mind, and he said, I'm missing out. There's something more to life, and I want to experience it. Now, we know that because of what will happen and what all of us have read and studied before concerning the prodigal son. But with that kind of mentality, he had already turned his back on the father. And as he turned his back on the father, he lost that idea of fellowship with the father. And he lost this abundant living, the life that Jesus Christ wants us to have. But it's connected to fellowship with the father. He needed godly sorrow to repent of his thinking, to get back on track with abundant living. You see, he failed to appreciate what he had. When you fail to appreciate what you have in Christ, then you're a target for the devil to bring something else into your life. In the book of Hebrews in chapter 13, let me just read this to you again. Write these verses down. I want you to go back and study them. But in the book of Hebrews in chapter 13, this is what the Bible teaches. This is what if we are going to enjoy abundant life, spiritual life, this is something that we have to do. And if I don't have it, the godly sorrow will convict me of it, and I will get back to doing what God would have me to do here. Hebrews chapter 13 and verse 5 says this: let your conversations be without covetousness. That's a sin that will rob you of your abundant life. That's a sin that will keep you from fellowship with God. Let your conversation be without covetousness, and be content with such things as you have. For he hath said, I will never leave thee nor forsake thee. The Father never leaving you nor forsaking you. The Father making sure that you have your needs supplied. The Father watching over you. The comfort, the security of the Father. This is what the Son had, and yet he rejected that. Because in his mind, there's something else out there that I'm missing out on. Those who might be here today that are not experiencing the joy and the blessings of the spiritual life, the abundant life that you can have, is this the reason? Is this something that's going on in your life? You're focused on what somebody else has. You're focused on coveting something else. And you've lost sight of being thankful for what you have. Marriages would be so much better off if you're thankful for what you have instead of looking around to what somebody else has or what you might think is available to you if you would go in a different direction. I'm just saying this is a great example of this, of somebody that had the walk with God, who had the abundant life, and yet for some reason they turned away from it. He needed godly sorrow, because godly sorrow comes by the word of God that convicts us of the things that will take away our abundant life, our spiritual living. Wow. He lost an appreciation for what he had. He was blinded by the devil to what he had. And because he did not have the conviction of the Holy Spirit, that was that godly sorrow, he was going in that direction. That was going to lead to death. If you go back in Luke in chapter 15, that's where he's at. Now he wants all this. We know where he's going, but he wants to take it, everything that God had for him, everything that the Father had for him. He felt like it's mine, and I'm going to use it the way I want to use it. I'm going to use my time. I'm going to use my talent. I'm going to use my monies. I'm going to use everything that I have. That only you wouldn't have it if it wasn't for the Father. God gives us life. God sustains life. God has blessed you with whatever kind of talents that you have. And yet you're saying, I don't want to use them for God any longer. I want what's mine. It's my talents. It's my money. It's my time. And I'm going to live my life how I want to live my life. I don't want anybody telling me how to do it, how to live it. Well, you have a free will and you can. But you're walking away from the abundant life that God wants you to have. And it's only by the conviction of the Holy Spirit that you will realize that. But if you're never around the conviction of the Holy Spirit, you'll never have godly sorrow that leads to repentance. Verse 13. So he gets all this. With this in mind, I'm going to live my life the way I want to live it. And he lost sight of what God had blessed him with, the abundant life. And not many days after, the younger son gathered all together and took his journey into a far country, and there wasted his substance with riotous living. Now here this man is experiencing what he thought he wanted. But it cost him his spiritual life, his abundant life. But once he's experiencing what he thought he wanted, he realizes it's not all that he thought it would be. Anybody ever been there? The grass always looks greener until you get on the other side. And you turn around and you realize it was greener where you just came from. Sometimes it takes losing the blessings to realize how much the blessings meant to you. But at what cost? Oh, whatever he had been influenced by, whatever individuals or whatever, he has now what he wanted, what he thought he wanted, that was going to make him happier, that was going to bring more joy into his life. And once he got what he wanted, he realized it's empty. It's empty. He needed godly sorrow before he would wind up where he did. But he didn't have godly sorrow because he wasn't around the conviction of the Father. Because he ran as far away from the Father as he could get. So he wouldn't hear the Father's voice. Come under conviction of the Father's words. And he went, in verse 14, and when he had spent all. Spent all. Cost him everything. Only to find out what he thought he wanted, he really didn't want. It was not what it was all made up to be. That's the deception of the devil. Trying to get you to think that there's more out there and that you're missing out. And listen to me, you fail to appreciate what God is doing for you and what God has done for you and the blessings that you have because you're not thankful for those things, and they'll lead you away. And when he had spent all, there arose a mighty famine in the land, and he began to be in want. Pride now. It's keeping him to admitting it. And he went and joined himself to a citizen of that country. Pride kept him from going to the help, to seek the help that was available to him. He went and joined himself to a citizen of that country who cared less about the boy, the man. And he sent, and this man, knowing he was a Jew, sent him into his fields to feed the swine. How ironic. He needed godly sorrow that would lead him to repentance, but he went to the wrong source. He just kept getting farther and farther away from God and the abundant life that God had for him. He didn't have it. He didn't have the abundant life, and he didn't have the sorrow for sin. In verse 16, the Bible says he would have fain have filled his belly with the husks that the swine did eat, and no man gave unto him. Now, for most people, this is when they just end it. They just take their life. Their life's not worth living any longer. And that's ultimately what the devil would love to lead you. And that's what worldly sorrow leads to that. Worldly sorrow leads to death. That's what the Bible tells us. That's what we just read. He didn't have it when he reached rock bottom. Couldn't get any lower than what he was, where he was at. Couldn't feel any more like a failure than what he felt. No abundant life. When you reach rock bottom, there's no abundant life in sight. But then verse 17. When he came to himself, finally he realized what he had turned away from was what he wanted most. Now, why, what happened? Why did this young man come to himself when so many will just go ahead and end their life? Could it be that he had those praying for him? I believe that's what it was. gave him one last chance. Open up his heart to God. The Spirit of God brought conviction. And he said, "How many hired servants of my father's have bread enough and to spare? And I perish with hunger." Wow. He realized what he had turned away from. He knew exactly what he had with the Father. He had security. He had joy. He had peace. He was loved. He had purpose for life. Had a future. Verse 20 down to verse 24. Right after godly sorrow, it led him to repentance. And when it led him to repentance, he would have his abundant life restored. And he arose and came to his father. When he was yet a great way off, his father saw him and had compassion and ran and fell on his neck and kissed him. And the son said unto the father, now this is genuine repentance here, "I have sinned against heaven and in thy sight, and am no more worthy to be called thy son. I don't deserve anything that you would give me." But the father said to his servants, "Bring forth the best robe, put it on him, put a ring on his hand and shoes on his feet. And bring hither the fatted calf and kill it, and let us eat and be merry." That's the abundant life. And everything that the father was restoring to the son is what the son had before he got blinded by the devil, thinking there was something else out there, and he gave up what he had, thinking there was something more, and then he got what he wanted, only to realize it wasn't what he thought it would be, and he come under this conviction instead of dying and taking his own life. Gave him one last chance. Convicted his heart. And he surrendered that conviction, which led to a godly sorrow, which led to his repentance. And after his repentance, his restoration. Psalms 38, and I'll close with this, but Psalms chapter 38, verse 17 and 18, it says this: "For I am ready to halt, and my sorrow is continually before me. For I will declare mine iniquity, I will be sorry for my sin." Do you have it? Do you have godly sorrow? We need it. We all have a sin nature, and we all have a tendency to look on the other side. We all have a tendency to think, maybe there's something out there I'm missing. If you have godly sorrow, that means you are availing yourself to the Word of God that brings conviction. And when you avail yourself to the Word of God that brings conviction, if you have godly sorrow, you'll repent. God, help me. Help me to always have godly sorrow. I trust you want that as well. If I could have every head bowed and every eye closed. It comes by way of the Holy Spirit. To have it, you have to be saved. You can't live abundant life that God has for you. You can't live a spiritual life without being saved. And once you're saved, you have the indwelling of the Holy Spirit. And as you yield to the indwelling, he's going to convict you. And when he convicts you with that godly sorrow, you will repent. I don't want to live my life with sin. God convict me as soon as I sin, that I can confess and forsake it, get it out of my life, so that I might never lose sight of spiritual life, the abundant life that God has for me. Father, we bow before you now. We love you. Thank you for the truth of your word. I pray this morning, God, for all that are here that's heard this message. And I pray, God, that if there's those that have been blinded, that are blinded even now, they've availed themselves by being in a church that preaches the Bible. And I trust that they have yielded to the conviction of your Holy Spirit, and they will experience this godly sorrow and act upon this to repentance. Work in our midst. Bless in this invitation. In Jesus' name, amen.